You're listening to the School Success Formula with me, Lucy Parsons. This is episode number 53. Hello and welcome to today's show. I'm so pleased that you're here. So in today's show, I'm going to be talking about something that's been on my mind for a while, and that is why we need to start thinking differently about applying to Oxbridge. So in recent years, it has felt as if getting into Oxbridge has got even tougher. Don't get me wrong, it's always been hard with the demand for exceptionally good grades at both GCSE and A-level, as well as a raft of high calibre supracurricular and extracurricular experiences. However, in recent years, I've seen students with exceptional grades and impeccable experience being rejected. In this blog post and podcast episode, I want to explain what's behind these rejections and why I think we need to start thinking differently about Oxbridge applications. So firstly, why is it harder to get into Oxbridge now than it ever has been before? To understand that, we need to take a look at the numbers. So in the show notes for today's show, I've got lots of numbers and tables and graphs. So if you like to see these things visually, I strongly suggest you go over to the show notes, which you'll find at lifemoreextraordinary.com/53. So in the numbers, if you're just listening or you're doing something else like washing up or driving or something like that, you can see that Cambridge applications reached an all-time high of 18,375 in 2018. Similarly, Oxford applications also peaked in 2017 at 19,938. And this is the most recent year for which data has been made available from Oxford. So you can see from the tables and graphs that I've shared in the show notes that overall offers and acceptances haven't increased that dramatically over this period of time. For Cambridge, offers ranged from 4,220 to 4,554 during the last 5 years. So that's a variation of about 325 places or offers, and acceptances ranged from 3,448 to 3,497, which is a variation of just 49. Okay, so that's a really minimal variation in the number of people who actually accepted after they'd had their A-level results compared to the vast increase in the number of applicants. So for Oxford, offers ranged from 3,565 over the last few years to 3,771, and acceptances ranged from 3,161 to 3,270, which is a greater variance than Cambridge, but in no way keeping pace with the increase in applications. The graphs show that the percentage of offers to applications at both Cambridge and Oxford have decreased over recent years. So for Cambridge, the percentage has gone down from 20.99% in 2015 to 20.34% in 2017. So it's not a massive decrease for Cambridge, but it is a decrease over a 3-year period. Whereas for Oxford, it has gone down from 18.08% in 2014 to 16.40% in 2017. So that's around a 2% decrease in the number of offers made at Oxford. So it is definitely getting harder to get in there. What these figures show is an increase in demand for places at Oxford and Cambridge, whilst the supply of places has barely increased. This is undoubtedly leading to many talented students who would be good enough to both survive and thrive at these universities being rejected, which I think you'll agree with me is a real shame. So other than the numbers, there are other factors that we need to look at to understand this changing landscape in Oxbridge applications. And one of those things is the calibre of applicants. So alongside this increasing demand for a limited number of places, the grades of applicants have also been improving. For example, at Cambridge, around 40% of applicants for science degrees who get 3 A stars at A level accept a place at the university, i.e. they are given an offer and then get the grades to accept it. Students with A star A, so 2 A stars and an A, only had an acceptance rate of 8.5% in 2016 and 7.2% in 2017. With grades lower than this, the acceptance rate drops to below 1%. So basically, you have to be getting all A's and at least one of them an A star, or at least 2 of them an A star, in fact, to have any real chance of getting into Cambridge to study for a science degree. Whereas for the arts and social sciences at Cambridge, the grades are slightly more forgiving. So in 2017, there was an acceptance rate of 18.9% for students with 3 A stars, 16.2% for students with 2 A stars and an A, and 10.9% for students with A star AA, so 1 A star and 2 A's. In 2016, these numbers were 17.2% for students with 3 A stars, 16.9% for students with 2 A stars and an A, and 10.9% for students with A star AA. So basically, the grade expectations are creeping up year by year. Oxford doesn't offer this level of information about its applications, offers and acceptances on their website, although they do say in their admissions report that while 3 A grades is Oxford's minimum standard offer for applicants taking A levels, many courses, particularly in the sciences, require at least 1 A star grade. More than half of applicants and almost 90% of admitted students achieve 1 A star and 2 A's. So more than half of applicants and almost 90% of admitted students have at least 1 A star and 2 A's or better at A level. More than 40% of admitted students achieve 3 A star grades or better at A level. So basically, it's broadly equivalent across the two universities. Around 40% of successful applicants, so people who actually get to take up a place, have 3 A stars at A level, and at least 90% have at least 1 A star and 2 A's at A level. So it's highly competitive in terms of grades. So the other thing we need to look at is where applicants are actually coming from. So Oxford's admissions report clearly shows that between 2013 and 2017, the proportion of UK applicants admitted decreased from 82.6% to 77.9%. So that's quite a significant drop. At the same time, the percentage of EU students admitted went up from 5.6% in 2013 to 8.3% in 2017, and the proportion of successful applicants from outside the EU went up from 11.7% to 13.8%. Cambridge's statistics show that in 2013, 11.9% of successful applicants came from outside the UK. The percentage remained fairly steady between 2017 and 2016, going from 12.1% to 12.3%, but increased in 2017 to 14.2%. So overall, the competition for places from overseas at both Oxford and Cambridge is increasing, but Cambridge is ever so slightly more favourable to UK applicants than Oxford. So what I hope you can see from these numbers is that it is getting harder to get into Oxbridge. With increasing numbers of applicants overall, as well as more competition from overseas, and only 40% of candidates with perfect A-level grades, that's 3 A stars, and that doesn't mention those who have even more A levels at the highest grades. So you might remember my podcast interview with Becca Reed, and she had 4 A stars and an A at A level to get into PPE at Oxford. It is tougher than ever to get into either of the UK's most esteemed universities. So what does this actually mean for prospective candidates if you or your child are considering applying to Oxbridge? So you might have read through the above figures and felt really gloomy about your chances of fulfilling your dreams of a place at Oxford or Cambridge. However, I think we need to change our mindset applying to these universities. And I think with this change in mindset, it might lead to more success. So what do I mean by a change in mindset? Back when I applied to Cambridge in the 1990s, it was very clear my goal was that I would get a place there. My application was thought of in terms of success or failure. It was very binary. This has also been the case for many students who I've seen through my teaching career and in my work as an academic coach. However, as I've seen talented students with exceptional grades who have done all the right things and get rejected and really struggled with their self-esteem and self-identity as a result, I've come to the view that we need to change how we look at this process for the sake of really the mental health of our brightest and best students. Even the highest achieving students need to start thinking of an Oxbridge application as having a go and seeing what will happen. It certainly isn't the be-all and end-all of a young person's life. As I've told parents in recent weeks, getting a place at Oxbridge shouldn't be seen as the icing on the cake. It should be seen as the cherry on the icing on the cake. It's a massive privilege and bonus. So I've worked with students this year. So for example, one girl who applied, she applied to Cambridge, but she also applied to Durham and Newcastle and various other universities around the country. And, you know, getting a place at somewhere like Durham is a massive thing. That is the icing on the cake, okay? But if you can apply to Cambridge and successfully get a place, you have got the cherry on the icing on the cake. I hope that makes sense, that little analogy. What I hope is that as students free themselves up to think in these terms, they will be liberated to be more playful in their approach to their applications and their studies, rather than feeling crushed by expectation. As one A-level student with an offer from Oxford recently wrote to me to say, "I'm doing my A-levels at the moment and had my first exam today. However, for the first time ever in an exam, I couldn't relax once the exam got started. I was anxious and panicky for the whole 2.5 hours, which made it extremely difficult to focus on the exam. Normally, I'm obviously nervous before an exam, but I relax when I get in. Today, I just felt so overwhelmed and couldn't focus. I've got a conditional offer to study at Oxford, which could be one of the reasons why I'm so nervous." So basically, this hugely talented student who clearly her teachers can see, Oxford could see how good she was at academic study, was feeling crushed by the need to perform to get the grades to get into Oxford. So what I said in my reply was, "Oxford wouldn't have picked you if they didn't believe in you. See the offer as a vote of confidence, and that might help you to relax." So as I've said elsewhere on my blog, and there's a link to where I talked about this, it was a post about what to do if you've been rejected by Oxford or Cambridge. You are successful even to be in a position to apply. So we've got to stop to thinking in terms of success and failure about actually getting a place. We've got to start thinking in terms of you being a success if you have the sufficient grades, the sufficient experience, the sufficient support and esteem from your school to put you in a position to apply. And, you know, if you are in that position, you are 100% a success. If you then go on to get an offer and even get an acceptance, an actual place on the back of your A-level results, you know, that is, like I said before in this episode, the cherry on the icing on the cake. And I really, really want you to start thinking in that way. So if you've got grades or predictions in the ballpark that Oxford and Cambridge are looking for, you're an incredibly talented student. It really doesn't help anybody to lay all this pressure on students to get a place in such a competitive environment and send them into such a state of stress that they can no longer feel the joy and flow of studying that has got them to the position where they can consider applying. So on the back of all this, I'm going to say something that which might surprise you, and that is that there has never actually been a better time to apply to Oxford or Cambridge. And you're probably thinking, like, you're totally crazy, Lucy. What are you talking about after all that I've said already in this episode? But there is a certain group of students, and those are people who attend comprehensive schools and maybe come from lower socioeconomic backgrounds or more diverse backgrounds. So there's been a lot in the news recently, spearheaded by the MP David Lammy, about black and minority ethnic students not being awarded a fair proportion of the places at Oxford and Cambridge. So with all that going on, you know, even when I applied 20 years ago, there was a huge amount of work going on in both universities around access. So promoting the universities to students from comprehensive schools and from more diverse ethnic backgrounds. And that has only got more intense in the last couple of years with, you know, all this kind of statistical work and David Lammy bringing it to the fore and putting it in the media. So they, Oxford and Cambridge, are now bending over backwards to find ways to admit students from more diverse and less well-off backgrounds. If this is your background, I encourage you to throw your hat into the ring and give it a go. After all, what's the worst that can happen? You end up going to a university that's probably just as good as Oxford or Cambridge, like Imperial, Durham or Bristol. And where is the shame in that? So I want you to change your Oxbridge mindset and free yourself up to succeed. What I'd like you to take away from this episode is that by changing your attitude when you apply to Oxbridge, you can actually free yourself up to succeed. This is a stark contrast to the oppressive feeling of stress that many students felt in the past, with the weight of expectation of their school and their family on their shoulders. As it's statistically less likely that, than ever that you'll get in, just have a go, have a great experience, have fun with it and see what happens. I'm pretty sure that if you free yourself up in this way, you stand a much better chance of success. So I hope you found this episode kind of liberating and interesting and just giving you a different way to think about what can be a stressful and difficult decision to make, because it, in the past it's been a massive decision to decide whether you apply to Oxford or Cambridge. And I know many of the people that I was at school with and many of the people that I actually was at Cambridge with felt it was kind of outside their realm of experience, outside their comfort zone to apply. And I think also they didn't want to apply and then fail and be judged for it. So I think if we all start this new mindset, this new attitude towards applications, we can get young people who previously perhaps wouldn't have applied because they had this fear of failure. And, you know, we can just make it into a more fun and engaging experience. However, even with that being the case, you might feel a bit overwhelmed by the whole thing, because it's not an easy thing to do, even if you embrace it with the most positive mindset possible. So if you would like some help with an Oxbridge application, this year I'm running a mastermind group for students in years 11 and 12 to help them with all the things they need to put in place other than the grades. So I've got loads of other programs and ways to help people to actually get the grades, but this is specifically talking about what we call supracurricular activities. So these are basically extension activities like further reading, work experience, volunteering, personal projects, all those kinds of things that you need to have alongside the grades in order to put together a really confident personal statement and be able to go into an interview and be really good at interview. So the mastermind is called the Top 10 Mastermind because it's for students of the caliber to get into Oxbridge. But in full acknowledgement of the spirit of this podcast episode, I'm encouraging students who take part in the mastermind to think more broadly than just Oxbridge. And I know, for example, that when some students who've been thinking very much of Oxbridge, when they've actually looked at the courses that are available out there and looked more widely than just at Oxbridge, they've seen that some of the other courses are actually a better fit for them at some of the other top Russell Group universities. So this is the kind of thing, taking part in this mind mastermind, that is going to elevate you or your child to a higher level. Whether it results in a place at Oxbridge suppose you're not, it will make you or your child a better candidate for other universities, as well as for jobs and for life in general, because it's going to teach them things like resourcefulness, more independent thinking. It's going to make them plan their time, really assess what things are necessary for them to do and which things aren't necessary, so think more strategically. So I think this mastermind really is setting students up for life with a lot of the things that I'm going to be teaching them and coaching them through over the summer months. So what I'd like to just leave you with this quote, which kind of says it all really. When you reach for the stars, you may not quite get one, but you won't come up with a handful of mud. So basically, if you aim for the very top, you might not achieve it, but you're going to achieve something pretty close to it that is probably in actuality just as good. And that quote is from Leo Burnett. So if you'd like to find out more about the Top 10 Mastermind, you'll find a link to it in the show notes, at the bottom of the show notes, which you'll find at lifemoreextraordinary.com/53. Or you can just go directly to the information page, which is lifemoreextraordinary.com/top-10, so it's lifemoreextraordinary.com/top-10-mastermind. Okay, and I also have lots of other articles on my and videos as well on my website about getting into Oxbridge, so you can find those on my website as well, and there's a link to those from the show notes. So I really hope you found this a useful and liberating change in perspective towards Oxbridge applications. And yeah, if you are considering applying either in this year for entrance in 2019, or if you're thinking of applying for entrance in 2020, so if you're in year 11, then please get in touch, because last week's podcast episode talked about why it's important to have these longer timescales to get everything done and planned and all that kind of stuff. So please get in touch, and we can book in a free call to talk about whether you would be a good fit for the Top 10 Mastermind. So all it remains for me to say today is thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day and goodbye.